Good morning, everyone. Welcome to worship in Elberton Church. Isn't this a bright, sunny morning? It's good that we can be together. I heard a weather forecast from Saskatchewan a day ago, and in the community where I served my first charge in Bigger Saskatchewan, the temperature was minus 40. So we can be grateful that we're not in Saskatchewan this morning. Anyway, welcome here, and we'll share together in this time of fellowship. I open with a call to worship from Psalm 145. I'll be reading verses 3 through 7. The psalmist wrote, "Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised. His greatness is unsearchable. One generation shall laud your works to another, and shall declare your mighty acts. On the glorious splendor of your majesty and on your wondrous works, I will meditate. The might of your awesome deeds shall be proclaimed, and I will declare your greatness. They shall celebrate the fame of your abundant goodness and shall sing aloud of your righteousness." Let us bow in prayer. Lord, we do gather to celebrate the fame of your abundant goodness and to marvel at the awesome deeds that we know of, that you have done, and which we desire to proclaim to the next generation. So, Lord, would you bless our time here together this morning? May your Spirit be here in our midst, and may we be refreshed and renewed and encouraged and strengthened in this faith into which you have brought us in Jesus Christ. Lord our God, meet our needs as we come here in the name of the Lord, and hear us also as we offer that prayer that Jesus taught to his disciples, and we say, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen." Friends, our scripture this morning will be in two portions. The first is a selection from Psalm 77, and I read verses 7 through 15. The psalmist writes, "Will the Lord spurn forever and never again be favorable? Has his steadfast love ceased forever? Are his promises at an end for all time? Has God forgotten to be gracious? Has he in anger shut up his compassion? And I say, it is my grief that the right hand of the Most High has changed. I will call to mind the deeds of the Lord. I will remember your wonders of old. I will meditate on all your work and muse on your mighty deeds. Your way, O God, is holy. What God is so great as our God? You are the God who works wonders. You have displayed your might among the peoples. With your strong arm, you redeemed your people the descendants of Jacob and Joseph. The second portion that I read is a passage we perhaps don't read very often in church. It is almost an Advent passage, but it isn't one that usually is included in Advent readings. I read from Luke chapter 1, and this is words of promise and expectation voiced by Zechariah, the father of John the Baptist. And if you want the background for this passage, you can read the beginning portions of Luke chapter 1. I begin to read from Luke 1 at verse 67 through to verse 80. This was Zechariah's prophecy. Then the baby's father Zechariah was filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke this prophecy. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he has looked favorably on his people and redeemed them. He has raised up a mighty Savior for us in the house of his servant David. As he spoke through the mouth of his holy prophets from of old, that we would be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us. Thus he has shown the mercy promised to our ancestors, and has remembered his holy covenant, the oath that he swore to our ancestor Abraham, to grant us that we, being rescued from the hands of our enemies, might serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him all our days. And you, child, will be called the prophet of the Most High, for you will go before the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation to his people by the forgiveness of their sins. By the tender mercy of our God, the dawn from on high will break upon us, to give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. The child grew and became strong in spirit, and he was in the wilderness until the day he appeared publicly to Israel. Friends, for the past two Sundays, we have been looking at the matter of reading the Bible, with the focus on the fact that when we read the Scriptures, we read for a purpose. We don't do it just out of a sense of obligation, but we read with the expectation that God will bring His Word to bear on our lives. So we began this series by reflecting on the fact that we read the Bible to learn the story of grace, to see how from the beginning of time God was working to redeem a people for himself. Last week we looked at the fact that as ones who have been called by God in Christ, that we are a people who read the Scriptures to find guidance for the living of Christ-transformed lives. So far we looked at reading to learn the story of grace or to be refreshed in it. And we read so that we might have our lives transformed in the way of Jesus Christ. Now today, I want to focus on deepening our relationship with God when we read by meditating on His Word. Now let me say a word about meditation. It's a word frequently used in our world today, and actually it means all kinds of different things to different people. Some forms of meditation are really just for peace of mind, tranquility. Other forms of meditation are ones that direct us in the focus of just clearing our minds and thinking about the eternal. Well, the biblical concept of meditation is different from that. It's a word which comes to the forefront numerous times in the book of Psalms, where the psalmist talks about meditating. And for the psalmist, meditating involved focusing closely on God's Word. And then, having focused on it and having explored it in our minds for what it has to say to us about God's grace, then we take it the next step, and that is that we begin to draw lines from what is in Scripture to our own lives. How does a passage of Scripture not only deepen our relationship with God, but what does it say to us about the shaping of our lives? What new insights about grace come to us? It's a meditation, you see, that involves focusing on the Word and then pondering and reflecting and then asking, how does this apply to my life? How can this passage deepen my relationship with God? What can I take away from this passage? Maybe even to ask the question, what one thing from this portion of God's Word speaks to me at this moment in time with most directness? I said that the idea of meditation is frequently reflected in the Psalms, and that ought not to surprise us because the Psalms, of course, were the Old Testament prayer book, if you will. And therefore, I want to take you to a couple of references in the passages which I read for you this morning. From our call to worship, the psalmist declares in Psalm 145, on the glorious splendor of your majesty and on your wondrous works, I will meditate. And of course, it goes on from exulting in God's grace and provision to action, because the psalmist then says, the might of your awesome deeds shall be proclaimed, and I will declare your greatness. So you see, the psalmist is interested in focusing in on the Scriptures, not reading it casually or quickly, but spending time with it, pondering it, reflecting and then drawing from it ideas which remind us of our relationship with God and help us to deepen that relationship, and then also ideas that shape how we act. The other portion from the Psalms which I read this morning was from Psalm 77. And did you notice how that passage began? It was very bleak, wasn't it? If you just think about it, because the psalmist begins in the frame of mind that God has abandoned him. Will the Lord spurn forever and never again be favorable? Has his steadfast love ceased forever? Are his promises at an end for all time? Has God forgotten to be gracious? The psalmist is pondering his lot in life at that moment and looking for the presence and power of God to be displayed. And it doesn't seem to be happening. And then in response, the psalmist says, I will call to mind the deeds of the Lord. I will remember your wonders of old. I will meditate on all your work and muse on all your mighty deeds. Your way, O God, is holy. What God is so great as our God? You are the God who works wonders. You have displayed your might among the peoples. You see, as the psalmist meditated on the works of God, as he pondered the ways that God had acted in grace, he realized that his momentary concern that God was absent or not acting in the way that he anticipated that God should act, he found strength because he went back to the foundation, the graciousness of God, the love of the Lord, the compassion, the wondrous works. And you see, that was meditation in practice as the psalmist renewed his life as he pondered the works of the Lord. I also read that passage from Zechariah, which is an unusual passage in a way, because it is the passage that records Zechariah's response to the birth of his son, John the Baptist. And obviously in those times, and if you go back and read the opening of Luke chapter 1, you will see the context more clearly. In those times in his life, Zechariah had been pondering the way in which God was drawing him into events that were of momentous significance for the people of Israel. And he was thinking about how God had made promises long, long ago, and now they were being fulfilled. It's a sort of application of meditation. And he draws strength and direction and confidence from this reflection on God's word. You see, when we meditate on the word, we take our time with it. Of course, not all passages of Scripture lend themselves equally to meditation, but many do. And I'll be pointing out some in days ahead that serve that purpose well. And what is our approach to meditation? First of all, having selected the portion of Scripture to ponder and to deal with, to meditate upon, we read it carefully, perhaps several times. And we do that in a spirit of prayer, asking for God to disclose Himself to us from His Word. We don't rush. We take time to ponder, to think. And then we begin to say, so what's that to me? And we look for applications to our own life. Now I suggest that when we meditate that we have a pen and paper handy, because there are often insights that come to us as a consequence of looking at the Word and thinking about it. And it's good for us to jot them down so that we can take them away with us afterwards and consider them further. In fact, sometimes when we meditate upon a portion of Scripture, we discover that the time we've allowed ourselves to reflect on it wasn't sufficient, and we find ourselves coming back to it again, which is fine and wonderful. And then, when we've had our time over the Word, an unhurried time of thought and reflection, we conclude with a prayer that our spiritual life will be deepened by this experience. Friends, you see, meditation on God's Word takes us to a deeper level than simply reading for some sort of story or timeline. It draws us in to reflect upon and rejoice in a deepening relationship with God in Jesus Christ. So I leave that with you. And as I said, I will be providing some portions of Scripture that you might use for that sort of meditative reading that could be a blessing and strengthening in your spiritual life. This is good news, friends. Thanks be to God. Amen. I lead you now in some brief prayers. It's a time of international turmoil, turmoil in our land, turmoil in individual lives. People have fear for aged relatives and loved ones. People have hope for vaccine to be available and feeling frustrated. There are people who are just weary of being locked down in winter. And then there are the concerns of children and parents and school teachers as schools reopen. May we in this time also pray for those who exercise authority in COVID things, that they may have both wisdom and courage. And we pray for frontline workers and those providing essential services, that they may have health and encouragement. And I'm conscious of our own people, those known to us personally, who are going through these days with us, even though we may not have seen them recently. I encourage your prayers for Jim and Helen Guthrie, Ann and Peter Lukey, for young Isaiah, for Victoria Lee, and for Carolyn Marsh, that these individuals who are living often alone or are dealing with health issues, that they may have the strength of knowing that God is with them and may be supported by our prayers. Let us pray. Lord, you know the needs of our world in this day. And those needs, Lord, seem so overwhelming, and yet we also know that you are the Lord. You are sovereign over all your creation. And therefore we dare to come before you with petitions that are awesome in their scope. Because, Lord, we pray for extraordinary things to happen in our world, but we pray to a God who is capable of extraordinary things and whose love is deep and transforming. Our God, you know each of us here today. You know our cares and concerns, our worries and anxieties, our hopes and our fears, and we commit them to you, Lord. And help us in these days to remember that you are still the Lord, and that you are with your people, and that you will not abandon them. Our God, we commit to you those who are ill, those who are in sorrow, those who are lonely, those who are afraid, and those who are simply weary. Would you bless and provide? And what's more, Lord, would you help us to see how we, in the Spirit of Christ, may reach out and respond if there are ways that we can, in person or otherwise, to bring healing and health and strength and encouragement into their lives. May we remind one another, Lord, that we are praying for one another, and may we draw our strength ever from you. Our God, hear these spoken prayers and the silent petitions also that we offer up in the name of Christ. Answer in your grace and give to us a spirit of thanksgiving and of praise. In the name of Christ, amen. Friends, just a couple of announcements. As you realize, I have been plugging the website a bit in recent times because it's one channel that remains open to communicate with people, and I know that not everyone has access to it, but if you do, I encourage you to use it as a means of maintaining some contact with the community of faith here in Elberton. And current developments on the website. On the light side of things, I've just gotten some more news about our new mascot. And that news will be posted to the website probably today or tomorrow. So look for that. In the These Days section of the website, I'm going to post some passages which I suggest you might choose to use for meditation. Passages that lend themselves to pondering and reflecting and drawing closer to God. And oh yes, there's a new issue of our newsletter just released on the website yesterday. So I commend those features to you. We continue our in-car services week by week, weather permitting. And next week we have our final service themed about on reading the Bible. And I'll not give any I'll not take away any sense of surprise and let you come next week and hear what form it will take. And following the service, there will be someone to receive offerings. I'm going to end the service as we normally do. I will offer the benediction. And then, after a moment's pause for technical reasons, we'll have Go Now in Peace. And then also a closing musical selection. So friends, go from this place knowing that wherever you go, the Lord is watching over you and will protect and bless you. Go in the peace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you.